There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this little Friday Eve edition of the show. Glad to have you here. Live local talk over the next couple of hours. You can interact with us a lot of different ways. The first one, the most direct way would be on the phone line or the text line. Same number, 343-0106, 343-0106. Of course, people send us messages as well through our Facebook page, facebook.com/FMTalk1065. Find me on Twitter at FMTalk1065. You can even do an email if you're still into the old technology. Old-fashioned emails, we still get them. I still get about 216 a day. So, but I appreciate yours. I get Sean, S-E-A-N, at fmtalk1065.com. So a lot of ways to get in touch with the show and be part of it. But the phone number, text line, is a great one. And maybe one you can go ahead and put in the speed dial, put in your contacts list. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow. Sometime in the future, you'll want to add something to the conversation. Have it ready. 251-343-0106. All right. Also, radar-wise right now, a few showers out there getting it over eastern Baldwin County, getting a few showers there along I-10, and that's pretty much it for right now. Still a chance of rain this afternoon. Dr. Bill says expect those thunderstorms more of 2-3 o'clock this afternoon. Deal, it's 90 now at our studios with a heat index of 94, which compared to where it's been a couple of the days of this week, I'll take 94. Coming up on today's show, lots to do. We'll get into this in just a second in depth because Secretary of State of the State of Alabama, John Merrill, will join us. He's being sued by the ACLU for blocking people on Twitter. He, you block somebody on Twitter, and he doesn't just get people unhappy. He's getting sued about this. How does he get sued? ACLU doing this, filing this lawsuit on behalf of Twitter users that have been blocked by John Merrill, Secretary of State of Alabama, over the years. So we'll talk about that. Merrill has called the lawsuit a political hack job, and we'll give you more details on the story in just a second. Also, good news here. I want to roll this out. Wall Street Journal story, Eric Morath says a number of Americans filing applications for new unemployment benefits fell to a new 49-year low for the third straight week. Though Hurricane Florence's effect on the jobs market remains unclear, that's probably something that'll be probably show up in the weeks to come. Initial jobless claims, a proxy for layoffs across the U.S., fell by 3,000 to a seasonally adjusted 201,000 in the week that ended September 15th, according to Labor Department in their release from this morning. It's the lowest level since December of 1969. Don't you know that if Democrats now looking at this midterm, looks like they've had a couple chances here, of maybe possibly taking control of the House or at least diminishing the number of Republicans in the House. Don't you know they're looking like this as the worst letter they've ever seen? They opened this up. This is the worst Dear John or Dear Jane letter they've ever seen. Going into the midterms, once again, the lowest unemployment rate since 1949, post-war, 1969, lowest one, 49 years since. 210,000 claims out of the entire country. Now, we'll see what happens. Obviously, post-hurricane, that may put some people out of work. It may put other people into work. I'm not sure about that, but that's the number right now. So you have that, and then you have the market charging. Although, listen, if you can figure out why the market does what it does given day to day. You're light years ahead of me. But yeah, the market is up. Unemployment rate is way down. And I know there's a lot of people that have a lot more insight than I do into Washington that have painted a bloodbath for Republicans in the midterm. But if those Republicans' fates follow the president's, things look good with those numbers. Now, president's approval rate, it's wild, right? The presidential approval rate depends on what poll you look at, but in the 30% range, 38, something like that, when you have record unemployment and you have a stock market charging. Now, there's some people who say it's absolutely 100% because of President Trump where it is. We disagree with that, too. I mean, there's some long-term trends that he picked up, but changing something now, voters who would change something now and block Republicans or block the president, I don't know how many would be ready to do that with the unsure feeling that if they, they rock the boat, it may start sinking. So those numbers are out. I thought that was an interesting thing to start off our discussion. We'll talk more about that in the show. Now, I want to lay out this scenario for the Secretary of State. Now, John Merrill's been on the show a couple times with us over the years, usually talking about what he does, right? It's election time. He talked to the Secretary of State. He's been on to talk about voter turnout or lack thereof, crossover voting. He's been on here before talking about when they were doing they were overseeing the elections going on here in Mobile as well. Remember that? So he's been on with us. And I'll say this will play into the story at large. He's been very accessible. There are people in state government that are very accessible, and there are some that are not so accessible, and there's some that you can't get to at all. John is one of the ones that is accessible. I mean, this is just my personal accounting, that when I've needed to get in touch with him, I've not had an issue. So here's how the story goes. Kim Chandler wrote the story for the AP, said Twitter users blocked by Alabama Secretary of State John Merrill sued him Wednesday, arguing he's blocking their right to free speech in a, quote, modern-day town square, end quote. Lawsuit contends that Merrill is putting a, quote, viewpoint-based restriction, end quote, on information about and interaction with his public office. The three plaintiffs said Merrill had blocked them from his Twitter account, quote, because of opinions they expressed or questions they asked, end quote. We'll find out about those questions. Quote here from the American Civil Liberties Union of Alabama Director Randall Marshall. He said, essentially what is happening here is the Secretary of State uses his Twitter feed for official public functions. Blocking people from your public feed violates the First Amendment in our view, end quote. The ACLU is representing the plaintiffs in the lawsuit. John Merrill, a prolific Twitter user, has tweeted over 12,000 times from his @JohnHMerrill account, often sharing information about his office. He says because of the way the Alabama Secretary of State uses John H. Merrill Twitter account, the account is a public forum under the First Amendment. This according to the lawsuit. So even though it's not @Secretary of State, it is at his name on Twitter. They're saying that because he disseminates public information, that Twitter account is a public forum. Now, Merrill told the Associated Press yesterday that he has blocked people he considers harassing, rude, or who, quote, won't listen to reason, end quote. But he said he is one of the most accessible and personally available elected officials in the history of the state of Alabama, end quote. Merrill said blocking Twitter users, quote, does not stop them from communicating with me, end quote. In other formats, including cell phone, because Merrill said he lists his cell phone number on his office business card that he hands out to the public. Anyone who wants to reach me can reach me whenever they want, Merrill said. Merrill later issued a statement calling the lawsuit a political hack job. So our Secretary of State of Alabama being sued by the ACLU on behalf of people that got blocked on Twitter. Now, of course, this goes back. Remember the lawsuit against President Donald Trump for something very similar last year. We'll see where that stands and what the Secretary of State says is the next step. He joins us next right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1220 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this little Friday, Thursday edition of the show. Dr. Bill's got an update on our forecast, and I wish I could tell you the big cool wave's coming soon. It's not, but it does. I do see something, and Dr. Bill was talking about it a little earlier, that maybe by this time next week we could feel some changes. But yeah, today another hot one, heat index around 100 degrees. All right, mentioned going into the break, be checking in with Secretary of State of the state of Alabama, John Merrill. Been on the show with me lots of times. Usually we're talking about turnout or lack thereof, polling places, things that deal with voting on election days. I think last time I talked to him, he was standing on the street waving to people on election day. But kind of a different discussion happening now as the ACLU suing Secretary of State John Merrill over blocking people on Twitter. John, thanks for your time. Thanks for being here.
John, thank you for having me, my friend. It's great to be with you.
Hey, good to talk to you again. So I guess we need to hit the rewind button in the time machine and set up the scenario with, you know, as Secretary of State and Twitter and what you do on your Twitter feed and what the allegation is in this lawsuit.
Oh, sure. I post a lot of different things on my Twitter account. It's a personal account. We have an office account. It's at ALASEC of State. It's open for anybody to follow, and nobody's ever been blocked for any purpose whatsoever. That's operated by employees in the Office of the Secretary of State. This is my personal account. I report things that I'm doing every day. I let people know where I am every day. I let people know what's going on every day. A lot of times I do communicate information from the office on this account because I am the Secretary of State. I interact with constituents by engaging them whenever they reach out to me on Twitter. But what happened back during the Roy Moore, Doug Jones U.S. Senate campaign is a number of people attempted to engage in some type of political debate on Twitter. And after I answer your question, Sean, you know, I don't have any time for you to just keep on keeping on pushing, engaging more and more people in the conversation because of the way Twitter works. And so I indicate to you, hey, look, this is the answer to your question. If you want to talk to me further about this issue, call me on my cell phone, 334-328-2787. But if you continue to push, this social media platform will no longer be available to you. And so when they push, then I block them. And I have had people that I blocked for other reasons. When my dad passed away, I had somebody send me a message, and they said, I'm glad your daddy died.
Oh, my.
So I blocked them, and I didn't give them my cell phone number. So I also have situations where people use expletives when they're communicating with me. And if they do, you're automatically going to get blocked. Also, a number of people have been blocked because they don't use their real name. And they have what my Senator Phil Williams from Gadsden calls keyboard courage. But they won't talk to you in person, but they're going to say whatever they want to say on social media. And you don't use your real name, and you're doing that, it's time for you to go. So there's a number of reasons why those things happen. But you also need to know that I post the same thing on Twitter, Facebook, two Facebook pages, LinkedIn, Instagram, every time I post. And so in doing that, And the fact that I give my cell phone number out to everybody and I have it printed on my business cards, I consider myself the most accessible elected official in Alabama. And I think most people agree with that.
Yeah, I said that at the beginning of the hour. I said I've never had any issue getting you on the show, or if you can't, I mean, you answer me right back when I communicate with you. So I'll have to, in my experience, I'll back that up. I'll definitely back that up. So the argument is what? That your Twitter feed is public domain, or your Twitter feed, because of your position, you shouldn't be allowed to block anybody?
But Sean, this is what's important. I mean, I think that's what they're saying, but this is what's important. I mean, anybody that wants to communicate with me can communicate with me, but you don't necessarily get to choose the forum in which you communicate with me. Because if I want you to come to my house, you're welcome to come to my house. Anybody's welcome to come to my house. But you can't come when you want to. You can't just come and walk in and take whatever you want out of the refrigerator and go and use a bathroom or get in one of my children's beds. I mean, you're not able to do that. So there's certain rules that you're going to follow if you engage in me on social media. And you have to understand what those are. If you choose not to do that, then you can't use that platform.
That's what I wonder about this lawsuit. When we talk about the public forum, this is technology, obviously, that didn't exist. Even 10 years ago, a lot of these platforms, or if they did, they weren't widely used, 10, 20 years ago. So do people have, they have the right to come see you at the office, pick up the phone and call the state as a state employee, we can call you and, give you our grievance or whatever it is. But does that mean your digital accounts are the same way? This is an interesting question, not just for you specifically, John, but for all of us.
Well, and another thing, like I said before, the president, he might share things on his Twitter account that are not shared anywhere else, because the president is not always treated fairly by the media. And he has a direct way of communicating with people throughout the nation, and he does that through Twitter. Well, I don't do that. I don't share things about the office that are not shared in other places. I might share things that are shared in other places through my Twitter account or Facebook post, but I don't use that as the primary source for distribution of information and material.
So
when it comes to the Office of the Secretary of State.
And so the point you're making is nobody is being denied their access to you, Secretary of State John Merrill, because they get blocked on Twitter. They can still get in touch with you. That's not their only route.
That is correct.
Now, you have the ACLU of Alabama representing the plaintiffs here, but you have some plaintiffs listed here. Do you know these people?
I don't know. I've never met them personally.
Can you give us an idea? And you told us, obviously, what one person had said, but what kind of, because I think I understand what you're saying, where you, and we deal with it on social media, where you answer a question, it's yes or no, and they don't like the answer or something, and it keeps on and keeps on and keeps on.
Absolutely.
Is that the kind of people that were blocked? Is that what, I mean?
Yes, and that's one of the examples. As a matter of fact, one of those people that got blocked took that post and put it on Facebook, and it said on there, I'm not going to continue to answer the same question time after time after time in a different way. And if you think I'm going to do that, then you're about to get blocked. And so you got blocked, and that's what happens to them. Because I don't have time to play all those games. Some people have time for that game. I don't have time for the game.
So, and that's, I mean, and go back, if people were listening, when you said the difference between you and the president's Twitter account, I think that is interesting because they succeeded, right, in a lawsuit last year against the president in that case, but you're saying that that's because that's the only place that information comes out of versus yours.
Uh-huh, and that was in May when they made that ruling. But with my account, it's my account. It's a personal account. It's not the official account of the office.
Have you changed behavior since this, like where you're going to put those things on?
No, I'm talking about today. Somebody was using curse words today on a tweet they sent me, and when that happened, it's time for you to go.
That seems reasonable.
No use for that.
Well, it seems reasonable. If we take that to the public forum, right? So let's say we, the citizens, have a right to come to your office in Montgomery and address you or see you somewhere, but would we be allowed to curse at you in that public forum?
You would be escorted out.
Okay.
And, that's no different than what we witnessed in the Kavanaugh hearings. When people stood up and started screaming and shouting, what happened to them? Did they let them stay in there and scream and shout?
No, they showed them the door.
They showed them the door. Roll Tide.
So, I mean, it is interesting. Obviously, it's 100% interesting for you because it's you named this lawsuit. But for so many of us, I'm looking at it kind of as a test case here of what, anybody with a social media account, what freedom we have with our accounts and what we would be forced to do.
That's right.
I mean, I know this is all about you, but at the same time, there's a bunch of us going to watch this and say, hey, what does this mean for me?
That's right. Absolutely. At least that's the way they should be looking at it.
Now, have you gotten, is this something that is just started with the serving of the papers? Is it something that you see?
No, look, they haven't even served me. I haven't even received this. I haven't been served. I found out about this yesterday from AL.com.
Wait a second.
They called me yesterday when I was in Atlanta. They haven't even sent anything to us yet. I mean, all they're trying to do is to give notoriety and publicity for my political opponent. That's why this is a hack job. All of these things, all these people were blocked back during the Roy Moore, Doug Jones campaign. So now they're reached a point where they want to bring it to the legal system's attention? I don't think so. This is being done for political purposes only.
There we go. We're going to watch this, and I sure appreciate, as always, you picking up the phone when I call. Thank you.
You call me anytime.
All right. Secretary of State John Merrill joining us. I'll post up the story on our Twitter feed. Yeah, let's do it. It'll be fun. We'll do it on Twitter. You can read through the story, and we'll talk with you about that next at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:35, FM Talk 106.5. I just wonder if Whitlow doesn't have a huge game, will Rod Bramlett and the crew up there at Auburn still put him in so they can say, booby? Do you think that's possible that he might even be, you know, injured on the bench and they'll find a way to work booby into the conversation, which Dalton, that kind of goes in with the birthday card I gave Dalton. He may take a picture of it today. Maybe we'll post up my, you're laughing at it. Yes, the grown-up birthday card that I gave you, because that's how we communicate. It is, by the way, if you're calling in, you just want to check in, it is Dalton's birthday today, so I wish him a big happy birthday. All right, a big thank you to John Merrill for hopping on with us. And there's two things going on here, right? There's his specific case, and this has been going on a while, his specific case, and then the question is, is that just for public officials? How far does that go? What platforms does it apply to? You got two parts here with the, you can say, well, the president lost his case, okay? And at least in the interpretation of John Merrill, that's because the only place to get those pieces of information, that those Donald Trump haikus, is coming from at Real Donald J. Trump, right? That's the only place to get it, wherein you could get that information that John Merrill would put on his personal Twitter account other places. So if he blocks somebody there, he has not stopped them from having access in the public forum. Now remember, the Twitter users succeeded in a case last year, a lawsuit against President Donald Trump. In that case, U.S. District Judge Naomi Reese Buchwald said people have a free speech right to reply directly to politicians who use their accounts as a public forum to conduct official business. Trump is appealing that decision, but okay. If you have a personal account, we deal with this in media a lot, even though it's kind of blended together because we're a locally owned business here and we're all kind of small staff and all the same bunch of people. That accounts overrun, but you know, when I was working for one of the big conglomerates or something, I would probably have my own Twitter feed, and then there would be the official company Twitter feed. So, kind of like a politician, right? There's a like an at Secretary of State, and then there's a John H. Merrill account. People say because John Merrill uses his personal account to do public business, it then becomes the public forum. Okay, so that's the first question: do you agree with that or disagree? Second of all, it's why I asked him about what would be tolerated in a public setting. Let's take it back to the forum, the real forum, right? Well, not the whole way back to Rome, but in a public forum, in a human beings existing in the real world, not in a digital sense with each other. If you started to curse or harass a public official, you would be asked to leave, correct? So how much of that, and there's everybody's real big and tough on the internet, right? When there's anonymity, they're all 8 feet tall and 400 pounds, you know, everybody's real tough. So you see even more of it than you wouldn't have. And so at what point does he have the right to block somebody? I don't know. I think these are uncharted waters. Why I think this is interesting. It's interesting, specifically the case filed by the ACLU against John Merrill. And I mean, I got to second what he said. I mean, the politics of a Republican Secretary of State being sued by the ACLU, I mean, you know, shouldn't be a big surprise there. So this could be a political move. But at the same time, even though it's a political, what he called, what did John call it, a political hack job, even though he called it a political hack job, there are political motivations here as well. But it does bring up something going forward. What is somebody's, do we have, as citizens, the right to access our public officials on, let's say, Twitter? Because this is specifically about banning on Twitter. Because if somebody has a Twitter account and they have a, whatever, they have an Instagram account, they have a Facebook page, if some of those conduits are open, does that qualify? As long as you have one open and they haven't been blocked there, it's fine? Could you block them on all? Would you buy, de facto, if you didn't have any of the social media accounts, they couldn't get through to you, could they? That's what I'm saying. You know, if you block somebody, now they can't communicate with you on social media. That's the basis of this lawsuit from the ACLU. Well, what if he did not have any social media accounts? Could you make a lawsuit and compel him and force him to have a social media account so you could access it that way? So I'm saying it brings up a lot of questions. And Dalton, you made a good point, too. We were talking during the news break. What if you just don't answer somebody? What if they're not blocked, but you never answer? You just completely ignore their messages on there. Are you compelled? Would the ACLU argue that you would be compelled to have to answer people who are being nasty with you on a social media platform? Is that part of the job? I mean, it would be in the case of in the public forum or having to take phone calls or answer a constituent. But do you have to, let's say you're getting those messages on Twitter, but you choose not to answer them. Are you in a situation where you would be required, that the law would come in and say, no, you have to answer them on Twitter?
Do you think that sometimes lawsuits need to be brought up so that we can find the answer, figure out what should be...
Yeah, I think there's a test case here to some degree. And people say, well, that's already been decided with the president's case. Maybe not. Maybe it's more important to go at this level, Secretary of State of Alabama, and look at it. What can he be compelled to do?
Because traditionally, the access to politicians would be you have to show up to a town hall or...
But you could write a letter, you could call and leave a message at their office. Mm-hmm.
But you're not sure that they're going to get that or even read
correct
your message.
Are they required when you call them? I mean, a smart politician will return calls and do all that, but are you... They're not. We have no law that forces an elected official mm-hmm. to have to call you back.
Right. And we've seen times in the past where when politicians do hold certain events, maybe the size of the room is small enough that no one that would argue against their points or protest them would be able to come in, or they only, you know, they kind of game the system sometimes to make sure that they have supporters
sure.
in front of them rather than...
It's, you call fire marshal in them
right.
is when you get to a certain point. So a fire marshal says nobody else.
And if,
yeah.
and if someone hops up and is unruly to the point where the politician or public figure can't say anything, then they would have security that, mm-hmm. that's either on behalf of the location, they'll provide the security, or the politician will have security with them that's able to take care of the threat or take care of the person that is being unruly and not allowing the event to roll on.
Well, yeah, but
on
there's Twitter, no bouncer. Yeah, there's no bouncer on Twitter.
There is one. It's called the block button.
Yeah, you're right.
And
yeah.
I think that's what he was using in this instance. It's really, I think it's an important question, because as technology gets better and better, access has never been easier to your
right.
politicians, and of
but,
course
but are you required okay but are you required to add in, as technology moves, does each new innovation become the new forum?
Mm.
Where do you draw the line? Where do you, and my question too, what if you had somebody in elected official position who did not have any social media accounts?
Mm.
And listen, I've dealt with a lot of these folks. There's some of them probably don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have no social media. Can the law compel them? Say, well, you're elected to dog catcher, whatever it is now, you have to have a Twitter account.
And
they'll say, I don't want one.
And there are a ton that have social media accounts that don't have never seen that account in their life.
Right, they, usually a staffer sends,
right.
sets it up, yes.
They put someone on.
Like Pelosi.
like Nancy Pelosi. But Yeah, because it's, and we do see like Bradley Byrne, there are a lot of politicians that answer back on social media. John Merrill does. That's why the politicians that are blocking people are the ones that are actually responding the most to people, because the trolls make it impossible to actually carry on any kind of conversation that actually could be fruitful. Because trolls just, they will tweet over and over and over again. And it's the same in sports. There are people that will comment on literally every single thing because they have no life.
Yes.
They just sit at home on Twitter or sit at work on Instagram, wherever they are, and they just bash whoever it is over and over again. And they're anonymous most of the time.
Yes.
Which were both points that Merrill brought up.
And looking at the text line, a texter says, is there some sort of inverse similarity between these complaints and the conservative claims of shadow banning on Twitter itself? I don't know. Is that a comparable thing? Jared says the right to free speech doesn't mean people have the right to listen. The question here is a couple of them. What can you, and I keep using the word compelled because that's what I believe, can you be compelled by government to answer? If you're an elected official, can the power of the law force you to answer somebody? Because if you're in the public forum, if you're standing out there in front of your office, in the parking lot, or in the hallway of whatever government building, and somebody's asking you a question over and over again you don't want to answer, if you say, I guess you could, at that point, you're just ignoring them. I mean, can they force you to answer?
I don't see how.
No.
How could you possibly govern
if
you had to answer every single thing?
Right. So then if the net outcome is if you ignore them, it's the same as them not being heard in the first place because you're not answering them. Wouldn't that be the same in Twitter, whether you see their posts and never respond to them, like you said, or you block them, isn't the net effect the same thing? And where do we go with this line? I tell you what, we'll take some calls here at 343-0106, 343-0106. I want to hear from you. What do you think? We can also get your text messages on this. Got plenty more coming in here. It's while this is specific in one sense, specific to the Secretary of State getting sued by the ACLU, the bigger story is if they were successful with this, what does this mean for maybe you're a CEO of a company. Maybe you're with some sort of bigger institution, a charity, a school. At what point does it end, or should it? 343-0106. We're coming right back. More Midday Mobile right here on FM Talk 106.5. And I give me a chance to block you at FM Talk 106.5 on Twitter. Coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Okay, I can get my other music queued up here in just a little bit. I saw the announcement. You know you're old. I don't know. I know they've been around for so long. See the Kiss story? I get to that. Kiss fans, it's coming to a close. We'll give you more details on that coming up. Plus, in hour number two of the show, just heard Bill Riles mentioned red tide affecting areas as close as Panama City. Ben Raines will join me coming up next hour. We'll talk red tide, the reasons you get these issues, how you abate them, what can be done going forward. We'll have that conversation here in just a little bit. All right, phone number 343-0106, 343-0106. Got quite a few texts about this and also social media posts we'll get into, but I do want to go to the phones first. John is in Spanish Fort. Hey, John.
Sean, how are you doing? The lone progressive voice of Spanish Fort calling you today. You doing okay?
I'm doing good, man. Are you alone?
I am the lone. I think you could put my progressive voice in a boat with four people, and we'd be about it.
Okay.
That would be about it.
All right. So let's sail away here. So what's your take on this?
Well, I'm going to ask you a question about actually the responses on social media to President Trump, Secretary of State Merrill, and so forth. Isn't your experience that it turns into nothing but an argument between constituents on Twitter? Once let's say President Trump puts out something, and I'll be honest, I haven't used foul language, but I've lambasted the president on his account and so forth. He's never responded to me.
Right.
He's never going to respond to me. It turns into a battleground between right and left. Twitter.
At that level, I think you're right. The bigger the Twitter whale is, the less chance you know we all have of having an individual response. But I think when you move down, I mean, I've dealt with John Merrill on Twitter before, and he does respond. I mean, because you're on down the list there when you get to Secretary of State. No offense to John Merrill, but I mean, a lot fewer followers, and also a position where you're going to see your constituents a lot more often.
I agree with that, but in my opinion, if you're going to put policy positions or policy opinions and so forth on that account, it does become, although however you want to say it, it does become an official account. I mean, he can open the real John Merrill Twitter account and put weather forecasts and roll tides and so forth, and he can block all day. But if he's going to put policy positions on there and there's not a news conference or a town hall meeting or anything like that where he can take questions, I believe that he has to take the responses. Now, I haven't seen his Twitter account, but I can't not believe that he could put something on that. Users will be blocked in this scenario. Foul language, threat, violence, and so forth. I don't know that he put that there, but if you generally just disagree, you ignore, but you don't block.
No, I think that's right. But in these cases, and specifically, I've looked at some of the interchanges that John went through. It got nasty. I mean, it wasn't just like, "Hey, you're wrong. Your policy is wrong." It's I'll redact here. That's our term of the day, right? Your policy is wrong, and you're a butthead. Okay, you know, or I mean, it's it goes there. I mean, there's a lot of people. If you look at his interchange that disagreed, it was a lot around the. Around the Roy Moore, Doug Jones special election for Senate, but there's still stuff pretty much daily, and there's disagreement. But he had some pretty nasty stuff go down.
That's true, and I think we can all agree that any political figures, left, right, conservative, Republican, conservative, liberal, there's going to be a argument. There's always going to be an argument on those websites. Always.
Agreed. Yeah.
However, I think if he wants to enunciate it more about what's going to get you blocked, I mean, I think your interview with him was fantastic about foul language and so forth, but they turn into love fest for whichever side the politician is on, and it always turns into, in my opinion, it turns into a political hack job, fake news, and so forth. It's kind of old sometimes, but again, I appreciate you looking at the caller ID and still allowing me to call in. So thank you so much.
Listen, echo chamber radio is boring to me. So no, you're more than welcome to call in on that. But my question, like I keep saying, I think it's even bigger than John Merrill, bigger than the, I just wonder where that goes. You know, and you make a point, John, when you say if he puts something up and then somebody responds to it, and maybe that varies from my question of, can you compel a public official to have a social media platform? You know, if we decide this is the new forum, right? This is the new way. This is the telephone. This is the quill pen of our day. This is the whatever it is to get in touch. If somebody is elected to dog catcher or president or whatever in between, no offense to dog catchers, can you say now that you've got that position, you have to have this account and you have to personally maintain it? But if they say no, you say, well, we're going to bring the law down here and make you open up a Snapchat account, so-and-so. Let's go to Kevin in Mobile next. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, how you doing? Good debate today. You know, I think it's okay to block people right there. You know, if you have your own private forum right there and somebody chimes in, God bless you. If it's a public forum, there has to be, you know, there has to be rules and regulations. They can't get on there and, like, say, turn it into their own chat room. So I don't see a problem with it right there if you want to say it's a against free speech. I'm like, no. You know, you and I, if we were to get on so-and-so.org or so-and-so movement and we want to do our political views on there, 9 times out of 10, they're going to block us there. So, I mean, you have the right to your opinion, but if it's your own private space or even if it's a public forum right there, you've got to have, you know, rules and regulations of what can be posted.
But what about what John said, Kevin, that the second, because, and John Merrill, what John the caller said, but also John Merrill said, that he does put out on his, because there's a John H. Merrill at Twitter, at John H. Merrill, and then there's a at Secretary of State or whatever it is, but on his at John H. Merrill, he does put out things that are part of the Secretary of State job. You know, it's not just like I tell people I have an Instagram account, but if y'all want politics, don't follow it. It's all just my outdoor stuff, you know, and I don't do any political discussion over there. That's what the Twitter feed is for. So what if he does bring that part of his life into that Twitter feed? Doesn't it open it up? Does it make it fair game?
Well, I mean, to a point, everybody's going to have their opinion right there. So even if you're a political person or you're an elected official, you're still going to have your own opinion. They can't, you know, have the own rights to your opinion right there. Somebody says, well, Mr. So-and-so, how do you feel about this? They're opening that forum up for his own public views. So, I mean, there's a fine line there. You can't say, well, he can't have his own public views, even though it's a private view on a public forum. Because in that case, there'd be no debate at all.
There we go.
So I do understand what people are talking about. But again, you have to sit there and read between the fine lines. It's different if he's taking the state's own Twitter account and saying, this is my view, yada, yada, yada. He can do that on his own, on private. So, but the whole thing is there, they see LU's out of control. I mean, they want to sue people for breathing.
And I appreciate it. I'm not blocking you. I'm just up against the news break. Thank you, Kevin, for the call, and we'll be right back. Hour number two of Midday Mobile.